Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Inside the Birds is back. What's up, everybody? Jeff Mosher, Adam Kaplan, and we've got a special guest. It's been quite a while, Adam, since we've had a special guest on Inside the Birds, but we knew we had to do this. We were out at the Super Bowl in Arizona, and we happened to run into the man who's with us today, former Eagles tight end, Clay Harbor. And Clay, the reason why we knew we had to bring you back, not only because you're doing so much work right now in the NFL, I mean, you are dialed in with Chicago Bears, your hometown. You do the post game show. You're doing stuff for 33rd team. You're all over Twitter. You know the league really well. But, you know, you sat down with us on Radio Row, and I thought, you know, it was a really candid interview. You're a great storyteller. So what an opportunity to bring you back here on Inside the Birds, talk a little Eagles with you because you pay attention to that team, along with the Bears, along with the Jaguars, yeah, who you played for. But and just kind of catch up with you. Do you remember sitting down? I mean, we talked to you about your Eagles career, and what really stood out to me was like how honest you were about why things didn't work out, and your time in Philadelphia and what you learned from.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, for me, I definitely never reached like where I wanted to reach. But it's, you know, you're a late fourth round guy. You know, I feel like, what are your expectations when a team drafts a guy in the, you know, late fourth or fifth or sixth or something like that? I feel like your expectations aren't that this guy is going to come in and be a Pro Bowl player. He's going to come in and, you know, win a starting job, especially when you have a, you know, an incumbent starting tight end. But for me, I felt like, and I mean, you guys covered camps and practice and stuff. Like, I had all the ability and the talent to be a guy, and just hearing from Coach Reed, Marty Mornowig, like, you're talented enough to be an all pro caliber tight end with your athletic ability, with your blocking ability. There's nothing that really was a glaring weakness, but I was just never able to really put it all together in Philadelphia there. And unfortunately, you know, I played there for three good seasons. And then, you know, when Chip came, I got released and then got signed by the Jaguars. That was, you know, and I ended up playing the first game of the year against the Chiefs, Andy Reid. So for me, the reason I think I wasn't able to reach that full potential, I mean, it's just tough. Like, coming from a small school, I kind of let the noise get to me. You know, I'm playing at Missouri State in front of, you know, I'm waving off my mom, my dad, you know, hey guys, how you doing? You know, you're playing, is basically like a big high school game. Right. You know, maybe you have 10,000 fans. And the next thing you know, you're in Lincoln Financial Field. Yeah. We got 60,000, 70,000 fans, like Philly, this huge fan base. And to me, I feel like I kind of early in my career let the pressure kind of get to me, and I wasn't playing as well as I could have. I played well enough to make teams, make rosters, which, you know, people that know, like, yo, you played 9 years in league. That's great. Like, people are like, wow. But for me, I still feel a sense of I left some stuff out there. You know, people like, as a fourth round guy that played 9 years, that's a great career. In my opinion, yeah, I think I left some out there, and a lot of it had to do with just the mentality and the mindset, like a small school guy. And that's why I think sometimes like the more sure things are the guys from the bigger schools that are used to playing in those environments. I think that's why some of these younger guys take a hit. But, you know, I think it just takes a little bit longer for those guys. Eventually, you know, I got over that, but unfortunately I was with the worst offense in the league when that happened, in the Jacksonville Jaguars. Started playing some really good ball, and I was, you know, Pro Football Focus, Bleacher Report, top 40 tight end, three straight years with the Jaguars. And those were my best years. And I know I played well there. I was very efficient. I was much better player, And that's because mentally I was much more okay with the environment. And it took a while for me to get used to that. But when you're the 32 out of 32 offenses for three straight years, when it combined 11 games in 3 years, it's tough to kind of get numbers and get noticed, even though you are a tight end that's, you know, top 40 guy three straight years.
Right.
So, you know, you talked about Philly and Jacksonville, and you play for, if I'm not mistaken, you play for Gus Bradley, correct?
Yep, Gus.
That time? So yep. Let's could get have been back
the Eagles head coach at one point.
Oh, yeah. In fact, that's funny. He was in the, it was one of the three. Yeah. For the 2013 Chip Kelly one. But yeah. When we go back to your Eagles career, Clay, in fact, if I'm not, weren't you their number two tight end in your rookie season?
Rookie season, I was number two tight end. My second year, number two, third year, number two tight end. It was always me and Brent for, and we only kept two tight ends every year. There's only two on the roster. We had, you know, a guy here from practice squad or not, like a couple games, but it was typically just me and Brent.
So, that's a lot to put on a young guy in his first year. In fact, did you not have that block in the, am I mistaken, the Washington game when Vic threw the bomb for downfield? Didn't you have the chip?
Yeah, I remember. I remember that vividly when they was, you know, I was nervous. I was like Monday Night Football, and they come out with the first 15 in the meetings before the game. You know, you're sitting there, you're waiting for the first 15. It was one of my first games, you know, and Mike Vick's our starting quarterback now. And now we got Deshaun LeSean. You know, I'm just like coming from Missouri State, you know, still wide-eyed, like, wow, this is crazy. And I see the first 15, and I see it's a play action deep shot to Deshaun. And I'm staying in, and I'm blocking the backside outside linebacker. And that happened to be Brian Arakpo at the time, and he was wreaking havoc that year. Back in the day, Arakpo was a player. Just seeing what he was doing to some tight ends and even old linemen. You know, like, he was a scary dude. And I remember, I'm like, wow, I'm one-on-one with Arakpo. And, you know, luckily I was able to get that block. And then Vic threw it for, I think it was like 60 yards in the air. Deshaun caught it, ran it in for the touchdown. You know, and there was John before the game with LeRon Landry telling Deshaun he's going to put him to sleep. He'd given him a concussion like the previous year. And like in the locker room, everybody's fired up. Everybody's yelling. You know, some choice words I'm not going to repeat here, but, you know, we don't like those guys. You know, those guys stink. I mean, not exactly the terms that were used, but you guys get it. And, you know, it was a very fun game, just going out there on that play, making that block, and then the way we started and just piled it on them was one of the funnest games, one of my favorite memories.
Might have been the juice talking there with LeRon trying to put people to sleep.
Biggest arms ever, man, especially this guy was a safety. Guy had massive arms. I was like, dude, this guy's a safety. He looks like a bodybuilder or something, a linebacker at least.
Yeah, he was enormous. So I want to ask you now about what you're doing. First, I want to remind everybody that our friends at Ocean Casino Resort in Atlantic City, that's the exclusive Jersey Shore resort of Inside the Birds. What you're doing now, I mean, you're following, you know, again, Bears post game. I know you do some work in Jacksonville too. You played for the Jags. You've got the 33rd team. Your Twitter account very heavily involved. What was that always something that you knew after you were done with the NFL that you wanted to get into, whether it be an analyst or a TV, radio, anything? Like, you wanted to always stay involved with the league?
You know, I wasn't really sure. I knew I loved the game, but for a couple years afterwards, it was hard for me to even watch football. Like some guys, like it's difficult, man. You miss it so much, and it's like you're watching it and you just want to be out there. So, you know, obviously I did some like TV stuff. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. Realized like, that's definitely not for me. I know you guys probably never watched The Bachelor. Well, I'm sure Kaplan's watching The Bachelorette.
My wife does. At home on
probably got the wine night ready. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, did some of that stuff. And I'm trying to figure out, what do I want to do? You know, I became a certified personal trainer and strength conditioning coach, thought about opening a gym. You know, did some of that, hosted some classes, realized wasn't really, you know, really into training people in that sense. I love fitness and I work out every day, but that's more of a personal, you know, habit that I just love to do. So then got that certification, decided I'm going to go back to school. I'm currently, I'm still doing that. I'm getting my MBA from Kelly School of Business, which is a, you know, top 15 business school. From Fortune magazine. It's really, I mean, I'm right after we get off here, I'm going to do some work on my MBA. And then I decided, you know, let me really dive back into football. You know, I don't want to lose that. That's something I'm passionate about. I was always a smart player. I could read the defenses. I love the coverages. I can look at a player and I'll say, hey, that guy's going to be good. And typically when I was playing, I knew which guys were going to end up being good. And 9 out of 10 of them were the guys that were going to be good. So I'm starting to think maybe I want to go into some front office stuff. Maybe I start doing some media stuff. And I just came up with this idea to start going to training camps. I think I saw you guys out at training camp with the Birds. Mm-hmm. So I go, I'm going to use my contacts. I'm going to go to Philly. I'm going to go to Jacksonville. I'm going to go to Chicago. And I'm going to just go to training camps and start tweeting my thoughts. So I literally just started doing that at the beginning of last season during training camp, started tweeting. And next thing you know, it's from since the beginning of last year, I've gotten all these gigs just off of coming up with this plan to go to training camps and start tweeting about football and what I see and what I like. So that's how it all got started. And it really built my passion again for football and the game and how much I love watching it and loved just even study, even when I wasn't playing, I loved watching tape. You know, like just looking at these, like, he's going to be good. You're watching tape of another game. That guy's going to be good. He's going to be a player. And that's something I really enjoy doing. And I feel like the media and kind of informing fans of specific parts of the game that they might not know about. And obviously an insider, he played 9 years in NFL. I feel like I'm a guy that can talk pretty decent. You know, some of the guys, I love all my, you know, my brothers, my fraternity brothers from the NFL, but some of the guys, man, holding a conversation, you're like, wait, what did this guy just say? You know, I don't even know. I don't even know what we just talked about. So I feel like it's something I'd be good at. And it really has ignited a passion for me for football. It's still a chance I want to get in like front office of the scout or something like that. And I think getting my MBA will help there. But for now, I'm really excited to see where this media stuff is going. I enjoy it. And it seems to be, you know, trending in the right direction, and it's hard work and people don't realize that.
Yeah.
Like I didn't realize that. Like, you guys have a tough job. Like, yeah, looking up the stats, knowing the rosters, like just the amount of work that it goes into preparing for an interview. You got to come up, you got to come in with some stats. You got to know the players, you got to know the material. And then obviously you got to be able to dictate it in a good way. So I got a lot of respect for the media. Sorry, I had respect for you guys back then, but you know, back when you're playing, you know, it's more of like a nuisance. You don't realize that, you know, these guys are talented and work hard too.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Play. You're perfect guy to talk about this because you have so many ties and you play for the Eagles and Jaguars. So I visited the Jaguars last summer, and quite frankly, I didn't see what we would later see in the season. They were coming up an awful situation with Urban Meyer. Someone with a team said to me recently, I thought it was a great line. He said, Doug Peterson was the exact opposite of Urban Meyer. It's what they needed.
Yeah.
So when you see Trevor Lawrence, and we'll talk about the improvement that Jalen Hurts has had, how does a guy go from looking like one of the worst quarterbacks in National Football League to one of the best? And as you follow the Jaguars and Doug Peterson, how do you think Peterson turned the thing around? I cannot believe how good they were last season.
Well, I mean, I want to give Doug all the credit, and Doug does deserve most of the credit. But first things first, he put an excellent staff around Trevor last year. I mean, obviously, he brought Press Taylor from Philly, who's a guy that's been around some quarterbacks. But, I mean, he had Mike McCoy as the quarterback's coach, former head coach, former quarterback himself. He brought Jim Bob Cooter as a quarterback coach, former offensive coordinator. Like, he had a great group of guys that knew the game. Then you have Doug, former quarterback himself, that put all these guys, this great tie, this group around Trevor, that he could use each of these guys to help him become better. And you look at it, when you saw him at him, you're right, they weren't that good. They improved late in the season. You look at the Jaguars the first half of the season to the second half of the season, different team. I saw him in training camp too, and you know, I was like, ah, you know, I don't know if this is going to be the year. I think they'll be better. Because Doug is a lot better than Urban Meyer. You go from that like dictator, the Stalin type guy, you know, ruling with an iron fist to Doug, a coach that you love to play with. And he's a true player's coach. He's a guy that'll laugh with you, play with you. He treats you like an equal, and he's not demanding you do stuff. And in the NFL, that's the type of guys at work. You're working with other grown men. It's like the college, like these college guys come up and they think they can just run their NFL program like they did their college program. That's never going to work. Chip Kelly, you know, obviously, you know, I don't think that that's something that will ever be done. That's why you look at one of the greatest coaches in history in the college level, Nick Saban, couldn't even get it done. You know, you can't run an NFL program like a college program. And Doug is the quintessential prototypical NFL head coach, a guy that played for 10 years. He's been there. He'll tell stories about his time. He's a guy you want to play with. He knows how to run the show. He knows how to communicate with the guys. And then besides that, with Trevor Lawrence, besides this great group of coaches you put around him, you bring in Christian Kirk and Zay Jones. You bring in Evan Engram. You bring in some more offensive linemen. You know, like, you put pieces around him. It's, to me, it's not a surprise when a quarterback has no receivers. Then you bring in good receivers and a tight end, he becomes better. It's the same thing we're going through with Justin Fields right now. Everybody thinks he stinks. He was throwing the ball to us three. We were basically his receiver core last year. Yeah, he had terrible stats. Nobody's getting open, right. And he had no protection. Okay, so now you're putting these weapons around Trevor Lawrence, and you put even another one with Calvin Ridley. People forget about that because that was a midseason trade. They don't think of that as an offseason move, which it basically was because he wasn't with the team until the offseason. So I think Doug's done a great job. He put together a great staff of quarterback coaches, and he put together some real good weapons with Trevor. And then you saw Juwan Taylor was a weak link. He improved. You know, Doug really helped him improve. The O-line coach over there, Cam Robinson is suspended for six games this year, but so they had a big-time draft pick, you know, first-round guy. And then, obviously, Trevon Walker. And I think he's still got to prove a lot. Josh Allen off the edge. I think they got a chance to – I think they'll win the AFC South. And they played the Chiefs close last year. I think they're a sleeper pick to go to the AFC Championship game this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to win a game when you throw, what, four or five interceptions. Is that the game that they lost to the Chiefs where Lawrence really fell apart there, right?
Well, how about against the Eagles when Trevor fumbled the ball six
times? Yeah, that was,
you know,
rough.
I mean, like that. I mean, in early in the season, they weren't getting wins, but they still were showing that they could play. But you have six turnovers in a game, five fumbles. You're not going to win a football game. And then, yes, I mean, I know obviously that Patrick Mahomes was injured and he was limping around for part of the game there against the Jags, but they played him tough, man. Interception at the end. I mean, that game could have went either way. This team 100%. Is better than people think.
Yeah, no doubt, Clay. In fact, you know, it's funny. You brought up Chicago, right? I have two Chicago-related questions as it pertains to the Eagles for you, okay? Two Chicago-related Eagles questions. First, though, got to remind everyone, it is Ocean Casino Resort's fifth birthday this summer. They can't wait to celebrate with you. That's even you, Clay. They want to celebrate with you, all right?
So they have a pool over there?
They've got everything over there. You will love them. If you haven't been there, we will get you there. I promise you. It's an amazing, amazing place. You can join Ocean for exciting promotions and sweepstakes, headline entertainment, the best daylife and nightlife lineup in AC, the debut of the birthday bar, exclusive local collabs and partnerships, commemorative fifth birthday merchandise, and so much more. Don't miss stunning fireworks and unique events all summer long. Ocean Rewards members will enjoy $5 million in gifts and prizes, so be sure to sign up for an Ocean Rewards card to get in on the fun next time you visit. It really is an amazing, Clay. If you haven't been there, Clay, we will get you there. It is
great. Wait, did you say $5 million in gifts and prizes?
I did say that correctly. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm on my way.
Roughly the size of your rookie contract. So I mean, like,
bigger than the guarantee,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
So Chicago, you brought up Chicago. I want to ask you this. I imagine living out there and doing as much work as you do in Chicago and being from there, you might see some Illinois football every once in a while. The Eagles picked a kid in the third round from Illinois, safety Sidney Brown. Their other safety went in the second round to Washington. Obviously, these are Lovie Smith guys, and he's a secondary guy by nature. But what do you know much about Sidney Brown and what the Eagles fan can expect from him?
Yeah, you know, I really like Sidney Brown. I went to the Senior Bowl, and one of the guys that popped to me was Sidney Brown. Not only can this guy cover, I mean, he's built. He's a stocky dude. He's a Philadelphia Eagle safety. He's going to be able to play in the run game. He's going to be able to play in the pass game. I love Sidney Brown. I thought him and his brother Chase Brown were two steals. I couldn't believe that both of them were there when they got drafted. I think Sidney Brown, obviously you bring in Terrell Edmonds. Obviously, you know, you got Reed Blankenship, excuse me, But I think Sidney Brown ends up starting. In my opinion, you go through off-season OTAs, training camp. I think he wins a job. He's so quick. He's explosive. He's got a good feel for the game. And just watching him in one-on-ones in the Senior Bowl, like, this guy can cover. He's a guy that can cover tight end. He's mm-hmm. big enough where he's not going to get outmatched, and he's quick enough to where he can cover, you know, the quick tight ends. I think he's with C.J. Gardner-Johnson leaving, I think he's a perfect guy to come in, a physical type safety that can play in the box but can still cover. And that's what you lost with C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I think he's a perfect guy to replace him, and he's going to be in an Eagles jersey for a long time.
All right, second Chicago question for you. And this is something I'm sure Adam would ask you if I didn't ask you now, right? The Bears signed T.J. Edwards. He had a great year for the Eagles last year. Really good player, right? And then they went and poured a gajillion dollars into Terrell Edmonds' brother, Tremaine Edmonds. So they spent a lot of money at linebacker. Now, you came through the Eagles, and you know that is the one position on defense that the Eagles don't spend a lot of money at. And not only the Eagles, a lot of teams just don't value linebacker because they value pass rusher, they value corner, they value cornerback, right? So you watch the Bears, you analyze this team. Did they do a little bit too much at the linebacker spot financially? Is that going to restrict them? And is that not a great philosophy in your mind?
I honestly don't think they did too much. They got two linebackers for the price of Roquan Smith. But you got to realize that you need some defensive linemen. T.J. Edwards, good buddy of mine, he's going to be out there, and he's going to be remembering he's playing behind Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Jordan Davis. Mm-hmm. He's going to remember sitting back here, it feels good. You know, this is it's a great situation to be in. No blockers are going to touch me. And then he's going to fast forward, and he's going to be playing at Soldier Field. And he's going to see a couple of rookies in front of him. He's going to see Justin Jones and Andrew Billings. He's going to see Dominique Robinson, Travis Gibson. I mean, I'm not talking bad about these guys, but these guys are depth pieces at most. Mm-hmm. And he's going to remember how good he used to had it. And it's going to be different. It's going to be tough for him to be the same player he was in Philly when you have blockers on you that weren't getting to you because of the strong defensive line in Philadelphia.
Right.
I mean, that's obvious.
And of course, they could have taken Jalen Carter, but they decided to trade with the Eagles there.
which was at the time I was disappointed, but now, like, afterwards, I see what they were doing, and I actually agree with the move, just because, I mean, Jalen Carter's in the perfect situation now for him to be in Philly. Mm-hmm. I mean, BG's old. BG was in my draft class. Like, he's got wisdom. Like, you're going to be in the D line room with BG. He can be able to tell stories about when I was playing. So, I mean, this is perfect. You got Fletch. Fletch is old, too. I'd call those guys old because I played with those guys. I'm waking up with back and neck pain. Brandon Graham's getting 12 sacks still. I go, man. I go, the BG is still – I saw him on the field last year at training camp. I go, what are you doing? He's like, you know, I started eating a little bit better. I'm like, that's it. I mean, the guy just has it. He's just not getting older. Coming back from that injury to do what he did was incredible. But I think with Chicago, to go back to the question, I like what they did at linebacker, but they still have enough money to do something at D-line. So they need to do more there. I think you can get a Frank Clark, a Yannick Ngakoue. There's still maybe a couple of inside guys, space eaters you can get, just plump up there, because – Tremaine Edmonds isn't a downhill linebacker either. You know, when these guys realize that they don't have the D lineman to keep blockers off of them, that's difficult. Edmonds is a huge guy at 6'5", you know, 250, but he's not your typical downhill linebacker.
Right.
He's a fast side-to-side guy. And TJ, love TJ, he's a very smart linebacker, but he doesn't have the same D line. So overall, I think it's going to be a lot more difficult for those two guys. I think that they got better there, and TJ's deal was team friendly. Tremaine got a bag. You know, I mean, he's like, if he doesn't pan out, it's going to leave a huge hole there. But in that 4-3 Tampa 2 defense, Matt Eberflus runs, you think about the history of the Chicago Bears, the Brian Urlacher, big fast linebackers. That's what you want. That's what you need. You still need D linemen because you're not tricking anybody with this defense. It's basically you line up and play. I love to play against cover 2 because you knew what they were going to do. Okay, maybe they'll blitz a guy here or there, but they're not going to blitz much. You look at Matt Eberflus. I mean, he never got many sacks in his 4 years with Indy as a D coordinator. He never, no, one time he had a player over in double digit sacks, and that was 12 sacks. So I think that D line is definitely something that's going to hold them back this year unless they make a couple moves.
Well, I turn your attention back to the Eagles here. I definitely want to talk about Jalen Hurts because we just talked about Trevor Lawrence and his turnaround, which was remarkable. So is Hurts. So, and you play with Michael Vick when he was still a really relevant quarterback. In fact, he certainly opened some eyes in 2010, your rookie season. Yep. But when you look at Jalen Hurts, he's a guy who was drafted to be Carson Wentz's backup, and we know what happened over a year and a half after that. It was crazy to see how things changed, but when you see Hurts take off like that, what stood out to you? Because a lot of us did not see this coming.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, I was out there. I remember everybody was really excited about the team, but the question was, what's Hurts going to do? I mean, this is, you know, people were thinking you use this draft capital. If Hurts doesn't pan out, we're drafting a quarterback, you know, Tua, CJ Stroud, like one of these guys are going to be in the Eagles if Hurts doesn't pan out. And obviously he did, and he became one of the best quarterbacks in the league. But I don't want to sound cliche, but the thing that sticks out to me about Jalen Hurts, and not to sound cliche, is this guy's just all football. I mean, he's now, you got quarterbacks out there. Like, I'm not trying to talk bad about other quarterbacks, but a lot of these guys are not as bought in as Hurts, which I say they work hard, but they're going to be out partying on the weekend, or, you know, you like, I've run into quarterbacks and players that'll be out during the week. And Jalen Hurts is a guy that's literally all football all the time. And he has unmatched worth ethic. And with my opinion, with guys with talent throughout my experience in the NFL, those are the guys you want to bet on. This guy is solely focused. He's not worried about anything but being the best football player he can be. And in my experience, of the guys that are like that are the guys that last and the guys that keep winning and keep playing good. And the guys that don't do that, some of them will be successful, but they'll never be as successful as they could have been. And I think Hurts is going to overachieve just because his focus and his work ethic is unmatched.
We were talking, you know, the way he made that jump from 2 years ago to last year, if he starts to just take even a little bit more of a jump up and becomes that guy who starts maybe hitting that check down, not because that's his safety valve, but because he knows based on the coverage that that's where the opening is going to be. And he starts getting rid of the ball even faster than already. He can really become something that's going to be amazing in this league for several years to come.
Absolutely. And you've got perfect players around him. I think the Eagles, I mean, Howie does such a good job of having these weapons. And obviously everybody talks about the AJ Brown deal, and you can't say enough. And he's going to be there for a couple more years. Devontae Smith, I mean, he's got two receivers that, in my opinion, are two top 10 receivers. Some people put Smith outside the top 10. And then I say Goddard's arguably the second best tight end. I mean, he's definitely top five, I think, with his full, you know, blocking and receiving. I mean, you got to put Dallas Goddard in the top five. And obviously, I think their running back room actually got better. If these guys stay healthy with Swift and Penny, I mean, these guys, in my opinion, they got better. And obviously, you got to keep these guys healthy. Penny has only played in half his game since he's been in the NFL. But if these guys stay healthy, and I think for some reason the Eagles have a way of doing that, keeping their guys healthy and making these moves really pay off for them, then I think Swift and Penny, I mean, these guys, and you still got Gainwell, I mean, I think these guys can be one of the better running back rooms in the league. And then obviously you got Goddard with as a tight end, and a low-key addition that I like is a very underrated guy. You know, I like backup tight ends, but you're going to see a lot of two tight ends. Dan Arnold can play.
Yeah,
I watched Dan Arnold for years. I think he's not one of my favorite tight ends, but he's probably one of my favorite backup tight ends in the league. He can do everything. He can play fullback. He reminds me of a guy like myself back in the league that he can do. He's going to block. You're going to be able to send him in the fullback role. He can play slot. He can line up and take on a block on the other side of the room. But he's got hands. He can block. He can catch. I think you're going to see a lot of Dan Arnold in these two tight end sets this year.
That's Adam's sleeper. You know, I said, man, I don't know if he can beat out Grant Calcaterra, a draft pick. But Adam said, hey, don't sleep on this guy. He can play.
He can play. Athlete, I mean, I know tight ends. He can play. He can do it all. and I really like this guy. I was when they brought in Ingram to Jacksonville, I'm like, I still like Dan Arnold. Ingram's obviously a guy that's got the speed and the playmaking ability, but Dan Arnold, in my opinion, I mean, he can do everything, and that's something special at the tight end room.
One thing on coaching, because obviously you played for Andy Reid. Andy came in 99 and turned things around. Doug Peterson certainly helped turn things around in 2016. And then Nick Sirianni, who's a virtual unknown, quite frankly, Clay, he gets things turned around. It was so bad here in Philly. Jeff and I have talked about this. We outlined it many times on our show, how bad was Doug's ending was in 2020. Yeah. And then Sirianni comes in. How do coaches do it, Clay? You've been around coaches your entire career. How do guys get these things turned around so quickly? To me, it's just mind-boggling.
I mean, it was with Sirianni because, I mean, he didn't come in off the bat and start playing well. I mean, I remember the first few weeks, people were already calling for his head. I mean, Philly's crazy. People are literally calling for his head already. And, oh, you can't stop anybody. Defense, you know, get this guy out of town. And he really stuck to it and, you know, planted his flowers. And obviously that, you know, that paid off.
The guy threw that in. Yeah.
Oh, man, this guy pays attention, I tell you.
Oh, yeah. I pay attention. I mean, he planted his flowers. And he just instilled his culture. And when your guy like Sirianni, he's a fiery guy. He instilled his culture and he stuck to it. And when times get tough and you're losing, and that's the same thing with Doug. Doug came in. The Jags were doing terrible last year. Doug stuck to it, stuck to the culture, stuck to the plan, didn't change anything, just trusted it. The wins started coming. I think that's the same thing. They trust their culture. They trust what they're doing. And for both of them, it paid off. And the players start to believe in that more. Hey, you get one win. Next thing you know, you get two. Hey, we're going to keep doing the same thing. We're not going to change this. We're not going to change that. He's not one of these teams, one of these coaches that are going to bring in a new game plan every week. I couldn't stand that. And neither of these coaches do that. They're going to stick. You're running mostly your stuff. Obviously, tweak things here, there to attack the weaknesses of your opponents. But they're running their stuff. They're doing the same schedule, the same routine, game after game. And they stick to it and they trust it. The players start to trust it. And you just start rolling.
Awesome. We are having a great time here talking with Clay Harbor. I want to remind everybody to also check out our friends at phlsportsnation.com. They're enhancing the fans' experience with their coverage of all Philadelphia sports for the fan, by the fan. That is their motto. So make sure you check them out at phlsportsnation.com. We're also going to pause real quick to hear from our friends at Sky Motor Cars.
Sky Motor Cars in Westchester is a different sort of dealership. All it takes is one look at their Highline pre-owned vehicles that people over the country want and need. Owner Brett Shoulder, make sure you don't spend a dime of your money before you purchase the car. Sky Motor Cars allows you to make all the decisions regarding your next vehicle. At Sky Motor Cars, you never have to spend more than necessary. Visit SkyMotorCars.com today or call 610-918-7225.
All right, back with Clay Harbor, former Eagles tight end. 9 years in the league, man. Your three with the Eagles went by so quickly. I remember you went to Jacksonville. I forgot you had some time there with the Lions and the Patriots, right?
And the Saints, yeah.
Man, yeah. You've seen a lot of different coaches, a lot of different schemes.
Yeah, I have.
Going back to what you were saying about Dallas Goedert, and then even your own career, right, with the Eagles, where you were the number two. I don't think anybody thought when the Eagles drafted Brent Celek in the fifth round in 06, I think.
Yeah.
That he was going to be a fixture tight end on a team that won the Super Bowl. And then they went from Brent to Zach Ertz to now Dallas Goedert. It feels like the Eagles don't get sort of the Niners are the tight end factory, right? Because of Shanahan. But it feels like the Eagles have really identified really good talent at that position. And I don't know if you've watched much Grant Calcaterra, but he showed you last year he's got some nice upfield moves with the ball in his hand.
No, I liked him, and he's obviously been injured a little bit, but in training camp, he was just coming off an injury,
yeah.
And then he had just started playing, so I got to see a little bit of him up close. But, the Eagles do – here's what I think they do a great job of, is when they find a guy, a position like Howie that they like, when they find it, even if you have a player there already, they have the foresight to see, hey, you know, in a few years, this guy's going to be applied. I know we have him. But we're going to draft another good player at this position. And that's what you saw happen with Goddard when Ertz was there. And, I mean, that's what happened with Ertz, with Brent. And, you know, and L.J. Smith, when Brent took over there, they will, you know, they will not, they're not afraid to pull the trigger on a guy that they think could possibly, you know, work in the future. And they've done a good job of identifying that talent. You know, I remember when they drafted Zach Ertz, I mean, that's when I knew my time in Philly had come to an end. You know, I mean, they signed James Casey. It was a draft. I remember me and Casey did a lot of the same things. I'm like, okay, you know, it's like me, Brent, and Casey. Like, I can beat this guy out, you know, watching Casey's film. And when I got to see him on the field, I'm like, oh, there's nothing this guy does better than me. Then you bring in Zach Ertz, and I'm like, okay, you draft a guy early second round pick. You know, there's no way that you're going to beat this guy out. And that's what these, that's how guys watch the draft. You know, draft was, you know, just recent. Like, that's how players watch the draft. If you see your guy, if you see a guy at your position in the first or second round, pack your bags. You know, you can see. And then sometimes even like third round, you're like, okay, they invested at tight end. If you invest a tight end at third round, you know, most of the time you're going to make the team in the third round pick. Mm-hmm. Fourth, you know, you could still beat around, beat out a fourth round or fifth, you know, sixth, seventh. The further it goes, you know, the more opportunity as a veteran you have to have a fair fight and beat out this guy. But say second round pick, you know, then seeing Zach come in, he was never the fastest guy. You know, he was never the biggest guy, but just seeing he was a smart player. He had hands, and you could tell that he was going to be a guy that was just going to be consistent. He's going to be able to get to the open spot, catch the football, good run after catch, athletic guy. And, you know, that was looking back at that time. I mean, that's what I knew. I was like, okay, I'm probably not going to be here in Philly. And then that's when Chip moved me to outside linebacker. And I played wide receiver for the rest of camp that year. And I remember being a wideout. That was a lot of fun. But yeah, I mean, it's always interesting how the Eagles have done a good job of drafting and developing tight ends. And I think Calcaterra is a, you know, a solid player. But like I said, I'm a big fan of Dan Arnold. You could probably even see some 13 personnel in the Eagles' future. But I know they're not thrilled about Quez Watkins. So I definitely think that some of these tight ends could take a little bit of time on the field away from Quez and having two tight ends with either Calcaterra. And I know you don't want to get Devontae Smith or A.J. Brown off the field. But if an injury happens, it does provide some flexibility to be able to go with three solid tight ends.
Clay, when it comes to scheduling, when you're playing, because the Eagles have a very daunting schedule. If you just look at the constitution of the other teams that they're playing, the rosters and coaching and so forth, it's pretty tough.
Oh,
when the schedule ridiculous. Come out, did you look at it? Did you care? What, as a former player, what how did as you view player. Your schedule?
So the first thing, I'll be honest, the first thing I used to look at, weather. When am I playing these teams? I'm sorry. That's what everybody looked at, the very first thing. Because you know you're going to play the teams in your division.
Right.
And then obviously you look at the teams you're playing, and you look, when am I playing these guys? In Jacksonville, I mean, I was out there. It's going to be warm. So all I'm doing is first thing I get the schedule, I look at the away games, you know, late in the season. Okay, we're playing Tampa late in the season. Let's go. You know, you're playing, okay, we have one game against Chicago late in the season. Or so you look at the cold weather games. And that was the first thing I looked at. And then – you start looking at, okay, you know you're going to play your division teams. To me, that doesn't matter. Then you go, okay, how many nationally televised games do we have? Because that's always fun. Your friends, your family. Oh, cool. We got a few nationally televised games this year. That's always fun. You know, Monday Night Football against the Cowboys. Ooh, that's going to be a good one. Or, you know, Sunday Night Football against the Giants. Ooh, you know, that's going to be a fun game, you know, in the Meadowlands. And then from there, you go to your non-division opponents. And you see which teams you're playing. For me, if I was playing right now, like, hey, we got the Chiefs. Okay, you know, that's going to be a tough game. And then the Bills. Okay, that's, you know, that's going to be a tough game. You start looking at the schedule and just like, wow, these are going to be some tough games. And you go through that stretch where the Eagles have, I think it's like a 700 something winning percentage throughout five game span, like the toughest in the league. I mean, that's something you would look at. And as a player, you know you're going to play every team in your division, and you really don't think about, okay, I don't know if we can beat these teams because they're good. You're more focused on yourself and being the best team. To be the best, you got to beat the best. But, you know, it's outside in right now. That's definitely something that's tough. I don't think the players are too worried about that. They're worried about we're going to be the best, so they have to play us type mentality. We don't have to play them. They have to play us. And that's the way I think these guys in Philly are looking at it. I mean, hey, you saw they were a couple plays away from a Super Bowl last year. In my opinion, it wasn't a holding call. They should have won. I'm sorry. I mean, you're talking about Ocean's Casino. I might have placed a little bit too hefty of a wager on the Eagles that game. But, you know, in my opinion, I think they should have won. But, you know, that's water under the bridge.
Hey, let me ask you this, because this is a huge issue for the Eagles in coming up this year. We were talking about it on our last podcast, and you said you got involved in strength and conditioning after your career, coaching and training and things like that. Jordan Davis is a rare kind of guy, right? He's 350 pounds. Yeah. He could be 340. He didn't play a whole lot of snaps at Georgia. Last year, he had the high ankle sprain. And even before that, he wasn't really playing a whole lot of snaps. And Greg Cosell, who comes on with us a lot, would say, you know, when you watch him play 2, 3, 4 snaps in a row, you can see he loses his technique. He gets fatigued. And now with no Linville Joseph and him expecting to be a starter in year two, Clay, if you were his strength and conditioning coach, how would you be able to get this guy to at least be able to play 30% of NFL snaps? I mean, and that's low, right? I mean, this guy's got to be a starter at some point, you know? What would your training be for him? And have you ever played with anybody that massive before and seen what it takes to be ready to get on the field like that?
I've played with some big boys, but I mean, he's by far the biggest guy there. But for me, if I'm taking the approach, you know, after studying and looking at some of the defensive linemen, the interior defenders that are successful in this league, I mean, you probably try to get a couple pounds off of them. I think obviously you don't want to take away his strength or his base or anything like that. But if 10 pounds, I mean, you can feel the difference as a player. Imagine going out there playing with a 10-pound vest on, okay? And then you take that 10-pound vest off, you feel so much quicker, so much more explosive. You keep your win longer. And that's one thing I noticed. I would fluctuate weight between this 20-pound zone. I would go from 250, depending on what they had me doing, if I was doing more blocking. And then late in my career, I'd go all the way down to 230 because I was playing a ton of special teams, core four, not as much snaps on offense, core four special teamer. I'm flying down the field, you know, and then you put those 10 pounds on. Okay, you know, now it's a little harder. You get back up to 250. It's just harder to move. It's literally like you're putting a vest on and you're playing a game. So for me, I'd lose some weight, help him become a quicker. He's strong enough. He's got, you know, when he's not tired, he does have great technique. He can get low for being a big guy. But then, like you said, he does start to lose and play a little high. His pad leverage gets a little high when he does get winded, and he's going to have to take that next step this year. So best thing you can do is cardio and then take a couple pounds off of him. And I think he'll be a pleasant surprise this year. I think he'll be a top 10 defensive tackle, interior defender this year.
Wow, that'd be a big jump.
Yeah, no, I think he's got, just looking at him, training camp, being on the field and just seeing the size of this guy and just hearing what some of the players are saying about him, you know, talking to the guys, I think everybody expects him to be able to make that jump. He's got that kind of talent. But the thing is, can he do it consistently and for a long drive?
Sure.
So, I mean, that's what I think remains to be seen.
One more thing for you. So we talked about the Eagles Super Bowl and passing here and how good this team is. Well, let's go with that. You know, the schedule is daunting, but you know how talented this team is. How do you think they're going to do this season?
I think that the over under at 10.5 was social. I know they got a tough schedule, but that's free money. Once again, you guys talking about Ocean's Casino. I'm going to go down there. I'm going to lay down a hefty one on the Eagles over 10.5 wins. Like, I think this team, they only won 13 games last year, right? Was it 13?
No, they won 15 last year.
15. No, 15. Right? Sorry. 15 and 2? They were 15-2. Yeah, 15-2. And the two they lost, they should have won. You look at that. You look at that the Commanders games. Like, Heineke with the biggest acting job. Like, give this man the Oscar for that. You know, I mean, you, like, barely touch this guy and you're going to throw the – they should have won that game.
Forgot about
Eagles
that.
Arguably – And then Jalen Hurts is out for the other loss.
Right.
Eagles arguably should have been undefeated.
They were 14-3, by the way.
They were 14-3.
Yeah.
And then the last game they didn't play Hurts because, you know, he was banged up, right? So I think that the over 10.5 is a gimme. And I would take him to win 12 games this year, maybe 13. I think they're a better team. I know you lose Hassan Reddick, but you bring in, you know, so Jalen Carter, you bring in Nolan Smith, like, these guys are going to have immediate impacts. And then obviously you lose Miles Sanders, but you bring in Penny, you bring in Swift, like you're really not missing anything from that team. And you pay, you know, obviously CJ Gardner-Johnson is gone. You bring in Edmonds, you bring in Sidney Brown. So I think this team is just as good as they were last year. And then you got another year of experience for the young guys. Come on, man. I'm taking them back to the Super Bowl. Let's go. I'm taking 13 wins back to the Super Bowl. Fly, Eagles, fly. All the things that we like to hear and see.
Who are they going to have to get through? I mean, Niners was easy, was a cakewalk because Purdy got hurt. Is it Niners? Is it Lions? Is there the surprise number two team? Your Bears, maybe? I don't know.
I don't think the Bears are there yet. I mean, we already talked about their defensive line, man. I could probably suit up and play some D-line for them right now.
Tackle position's bad there, yeah. That's
just not good. I think the Lions are a sleeper.
Yep.
I mean, Jared Goff had a heck of a year. Obviously, he's not as good as his numbers suggest. If you look at the QBR and the QB rating, the yards, and you know, hasn't thrown an interception. I don't think he's as good as his numbers suggest, but I still think he's good enough. And they've put a lot around him. I think Dan Campbell's done a good job this year. And I know there were some questions about them early in the draft, you know, but I think they came out the draft with as good of players as anybody. I know maybe they took Gibbs too high. Maybe they took Jack Campbell too high. Sam Laporta was actually my tight end number one coming out. I think he was a steal. And you can get Brian Banks, the safety. You know, they bring in Cam Sutton. They got C.J. Gardner-Johnson in that defensive backfield that was the worst in the NFL. The Lions gave up the most yards in the NFL last year, the third most points. They're better. They can score some points. They got our old running back from Chicago, David Montgomery. You still got the Amon-Ra St. Brown. They got Marvin Jones back there. So I think the Lions is a team. You're getting Jameson Williams back off of his 6-game suspension. It's a team that the Eagles could have some trouble with. I mean, the Cowboys, always tough team, tough games. Brian Daboll, my old tight end coach, one of the most intelligent football coaches I've ever played with. In the time with him, I learned as much. I had a half a season with New England Patriots, had a cup of coffee there, you know, played 5 games and then got released. The next day I signed with the Lions. So cup of coffee, played in 5 games, but learning from Daboll. They didn't give me a ring, by the way. I thought I should have got one. You know, they end up winning.
You were on the roster for.
I was active for 5 games, played in 5 games, didn't get the ring. My agent reached out and everything, but they're like, no, we only give rings to the guys who are actually on the team. The Eagles gave rings to everybody that was on an active team playing the game. Patriots don't, so I didn't get the ring. But Daboll knows his stuff. He knows. Mm-hmm. You think Daniel Jones all of a sudden turned into a great quarter, or at least an above average quarterback? No, Daboll knows your strengths and your weaknesses. He wasn't going to put me in a position to pass protect one-on-one with somebody. He would put Gronk in that position. He knows where to put guys. He knows what Danny Dimes can do. He's a smart coach. And I think as long as you got Daboll there, I think they're going to be a good team. And they've improved too. So I think the Giants are going to be a little bit of a more of a test than they were last year when we just waxed them in the playoffs. I think the Cowboys are always tough. And then, like you said, 49ers. I mean, who's going to be their quarterback? I'm not sure they even know at this point. But whoever it is, I think all three of those guys can play with that defense. I mean, I think Adam could go over there and take some snaps and they'd still make the playoffs. I mean, with that defense, I don't know. So those
you just got to put Adam in position to succeed, Clay. That's all. Right. You just got to figure out how to put him in position.
Yeah.
Listen, man, really appreciate it. It's been great catching up with you. Let's do more stuff in the future. Can we make that happen?
Yeah, let's do it.
You're so busy. You're everywhere.
Yeah, I'm gonna go down to camp and check out a couple of training camp games. I might even pop in for some OTAs to see how the guys are looking down there and say what's up. So we definitely have to get on soon, guys.
Awesome. Well, that will do it for this episode of Inside the Birds, the leading podcast in Eagles Intel. We got to give a big thanks here to Clay Harbor. Always awesome catching up. You're the man. It's been fun. I'm glad we got to reconnect at the Super Bowl and look forward to having you back on the platform sometime down the road. So for Clay Harbor, Adam Kaplan, I'm Jeff Mosher. You've been watching and listening to Inside the Birds. And as always, we thank you for flying with us inside the Birds.